Welcome and hello, everybody. This is the REI Society Podcast, where we are informing you everything real estate and business related so that you can be successful in REI investing. We're sharing the tools, tips, and stories from people who have already made it. And my name is Brandon Thompson, your host. Each week, we'll bring extraordinary guests so that you can learn real estate from the best. Hello, everybody. I wanted to talk to you guys today about the coronavirus economy. You know, these are unprecedented times right now. And I just want to give you some unprecedented steps to help you in these uncertain times. You know, uncertainty brings fear. You know, sometimes it brings about fear and, you know, a lack thereof kind of thinking and mindset. And unfortunately, you know, it'll scare a lot of people. It'll make people make bad decisions. To me, it just doesn't really rattle me, to be quite honest with you. So, you know, back in 2008, I lost everything in bankruptcy. I saw the worst of it. And although I don't ever want to go back to that again, I do understand what that fear is and how bad it can get for people. But, you know, as I've aged and got smarter with my business and learned a little bit more, I realized that my default is to find the opportunity in times like this, such as this, and to thrive. So you may find yourself watching the news on social, watching the news or looking at social media too much right now. I would advise against that. There is a way to survive this coronavirus economy, and I'm not knocking that coronavirus is bad. Yes, it's bad. It's hurting America. It's hurting the globe, and we are seeing a lot of bad shit happen, to be quite honest. But you know, here's the silver lining in all this. There's going to be a lot of opportunity here shortly. So what we need to do right now is to plan. First, it's survive, and then it is thrive. So this is an eruption. This is an interruption. Usually within real estate, we are a lag about 6 months behind what's going on with the economy. Unfortunately, I feel like because the coronavirus, COVID-19, has come into the States specifically over the last several weeks, and it's been instantaneous that we're probably going to have more like a three-month lag. I'm already starting to see it slow down 3 weeks in here on this here in this Georgia market. So for those of you that are in different states, I'm guessing you're seeing it as well. So here's the thing, we need to plan for this interruption, and you will plan for this interruption so that we can flow strong here in the near future. So over the last few weeks, I'm going to tell you some things that I've been doing that's helping me to survive, that I also advise any of you guys to do so that you can survive. Because I've been through this back in 2008. And although we're in a different format per se of what's going on, this is more like 9/11, some big occurrence all of a sudden out of the middle of nowhere, meeting 2008. So it's a little bit different than the mortgage crisis and the greed crisis back in those times. Now it's like, oh shoot, this epidemic is just coming out of the middle of nowhere and we weren't even prepared for it, obviously. Here's the thing. Let's plan for this interruption and flow strong, guys. So a lot of us in real estate, we were all asking for a break. We wanted less wholesalers in business. We wanted less flippers to get in. We wanted less lenders. We wanted less real estate agents. Guess what? You got it. You freaking got it. This is the time to use your time wisely so that you can prepare for the thrive part. So how do we do this? I'll be honest with you. Let me start backwards. I have never had a break like this at all. Not even in 2008. In 2008, I had already been in business for several years and I was over leveraged. I didn't really have any money in the bank. And you've heard bits and pieces of my story and different podcast episodes. Look, guys, I didn't get a break like this until 2009 after I lost everything. I finally have what I'm asking for again. Like I've just been flipping houses like 50, 60 a year. And then with my prior business partner, we were flipping 100 to 150 a year. And, you know, we had a bunch of rentals and it's just like we're always on. And I've been programmed to kind of like just react. Now I can program myself to be prepared to, you know, basically take over and seize the mountain, carpe diem per se. So let me just throw you guys a little bit of my story. For those of you that don't know, I started in business 17 years ago. I was a real estate agent. Within my first year, I started real estate investing as well. From 20 to 22 years old, I bought 20 homes in 2 years and rented those out. Those were rental properties. And then I was flipping homes for 10 to 15 homes a year up until 2008. And then I was also teaching and training self-employed investors, you know, to do the same thing I was doing, buy rental homes and buy and hold, and then also to flip houses as well. And I was hooking them up with all my contractors, hooking them up with my local community banks, and I was just throwing them in this big system that I had developed, and I had my sister and a few people working for me, and we were just running people in this system like clockwork, turning deals. But unfortunately, I just wasn't smart with my money. I was just so young. I had got myself over leveraged. I was living off of lending or loaned money. And, you know, we bought a house that was just a little bit over our head. We bought properties that we shouldn't have bought. And my gosh, just spending on cars that we shouldn't have, you know, spent on. We didn't know how to delay our gratification. And unfortunately, it got the best of me. And then that happened to a lot of people. But, you know, guess what? In 2009, when crap got real, you know, poverty really became real. Kind of like had a flashback, like I was in a trailer park again. And then unfortunately, yeah, I felt like I was, you know, because I went, you know, from a paper millionaire to literally nothing overnight. You know, zero in the bank. I had friends pay for vacations, had my sister offer to pay for groceries, had a rent from a friend. I lost everything, 20 houses, lost everything I'd worked for my gosh, you know, 5-6 years. So, but in 2009, it was one of the best times of my life. Things got slow. I just got discharged from my bankruptcy, and I had reinvented myself with a new company called Swift Change Real Estate, and it was a brokerage. This brokerage, I don't even know if I said that right, but this brokerage specifically was one that worked with REO lenders, and we took these repossessed homes, these foreclosures, and listed them. Well, in 2009, I went from making, let's just say, a couple hundred thousand dollars a year to $30,000 in that first year. And I was applying for these REO banks to give me these listings, and some properties came to me first, because I'm the agent on file, right? So these properties specifically came to me, and I was reviewing them, and I'm like, oh my gosh, these are some good deals here. And I called a friend up. Later on, we became business partners over this conversation, but we contracted these properties in a new entity that we called Investor Network. And then from there, the rest was history. We had to pull a rabbit out of our hats. And I've talked about that in another episode. You guys may have seen it, but it was because I was going slow. I was reinventing myself. I started a brokerage. I applied with REO lenders. I found a good pocket listing. And my prior business partner and I, we wholesaled the projects. And then we wholesaled again 2 or 3 times in that year, and we made several hundred thousand dollars a piece 1 year out of bankruptcy. And then every year since then, I compounded my money and I made smart decisions. Together, he and I created a private capital real estate investment firm, borrowing money from private capital investors. Up until 2 years ago in 2018, we decided to separate because the market had gotten so good. We don't need private capital lenders anymore. So he started flipping houses on his own. I started, you know, flipping houses on my own, utilizing cash and hard money loans. Now I don't have to pay, I don't have to give away equity positions. And, you know, I made my money. I made great money in those 13 years. But it would never have come about if I wasn't reading and I wasn't retraining myself to be positive. And just getting more alive because I had more time to learn and to do more and to think creatively. So here again, here's the thing, guys. Right now, we're in a time just like that, what had happened to me way back then. Now we're in a time as people are starting to get into routines, you know, you're able to actually slow down to realize what good you can create to help others in a servant methodology. Like, we can actually, if we strategize ourselves right, we can make a pivot and we can position ourselves so that we can be the person who is on the forefront. We're the hero and we're helping people as they are looking to fire sale here in the next coming months, their properties, their businesses, their restaurants, and we can give them the cash grab that they need to help them out in their times. Now we can pivot and create real wealth for ourselves. So I want to remind you guys, more people had created wealth in 2008 and 2009 and became millionaires there in that time frame than any other time in the last 13 years. So it was in that 2008 and 2009 time frame where majority of the last 13 years of wealth was created. So let's go over some things that I'm doing right now that are mentally and tactfully. And I want to tell you guys, like, this is going to be good strategy for you if you really listen. And some of you may have already been on some of my webinars that I've been doing. Some of you may not. If you haven't, get in my public Facebook group, REI Society, and or follow me on Instagram, Brandon G. Thompson. And you'll see some of the stuff that I'm talking about and doing. But look, guys, I'm no fortune teller, but I do have a knack for understanding the market and where it's going, regardless of what other people are saying. A lot of people are out there, especially in real estate. They're really bullish on the market. They're thinking because, oh, I'm selling like crazy and I've got a few projects and they're contracting like crazy and everything is going well. Like, this isn't going to affect us. They're completely wrong, guys. I'm telling you right now, they are wrong. And I just want you guys to know that, look, dude, I'm seeing it all over the place. People are forced to sit home. Kids are at home, obviously. You're working at home, most likely. And we're all full of distractions. Like, but, you know, here's the thing is this is the best time. This is the best time. People are falling into a routine finally, several weeks in. And, you know, we're going to see that more babies are being born. There may be more divorces. And, you know, we're going to see a Generation C for Corona babies. So it's an interesting time for sure. But I do want to say this. I've got a knack for reading the future, you know, with economics because I was forced to learn this stuff as I was going through it in 2008. Now I pay attention to where we're going. And I completely disagree with the people that are so bullish on the market. So I know I'm running all over the place, but these people are thinking that because they're so busy right now, they're going to be busy in 2 months or 3 months. No, people are being laid off. Companies are going under. Restaurants are having to close the doors and hopefully most of them will come back. But a lot of them, let's just say 20% of them, we're going to close the doors forever. So no, the real estate market may be good right now because a lot of people that are buying were buying before it got really aggressive here in the States. And then they started buying as of the week, 2 or 3 weeks ago, whenever people started shutting down municipalities and states in general. And they're going to keep on going because interest rates are really, really low. And then let's talk about interest rates. Interest rates are really, really low. So you're drawing out a few more people. And that's what they were hoping for to keep the economy stimulated. But let's be honest, a lot of people are wondering about where this economy is going. And my opinion is it's going south for a few months. Here's the thing, guys. Look, time-wise, let's just call it this peak distraction. You know, last month in March, this month, the full month of April, just write it off as normalcy. I mean, you know, it's going to be a full 8 weeks to 9 weeks of maybe even leading into the beginning of May before we peak a curve in this coronavirus. So we just need to adjust to the world being on sale by May. So 1 month to, you know, a month and a half by May. And then in June, there will be people behind on their finances. There's going to be mortgages, you know, starting to go into foreclosure and businesses will be toppling and going under. So this is the working poor, guys. This is anybody within 30 days of bankruptcy that doesn't have the network, the affluence, the influence, the mindset to create wealth and to generate extra cash flow. And it's unfortunate, but look, guys, there's going to be enough of the pie thrown around for you to grab your slice. There's a big pie out there. And as long as we're the ones that help these people, the people that are getting behind on their finances, their mortgages, their businesses, and et cetera, we're going to be able to be there to be the servant, to give them the helping hand so that they can stop the bleeding and they can move on with their life. They're happy and you've got a wonderful wealth generating opportunity in front of you. So now it's going to be time to capitalize May, June, maybe even July. So look, end of June, July, businesses will be back to normal and people are going to be out in the streets. Short-term rentals. I've got a few short-term rentals and right now, Governor Kemp has put these things, put short-term rentals as you banned. You can't, in the state of Georgia, rent out short-term rental right now through the end of April. But look, by June, you know, we're going to be in a full recession, full blown. It's obvious. The indicators are there. But businesses, you know, the businesses that are still there, they're going to be back to normal. People are going to be in the streets. People are going to be renting houses again, short-term rentals. People are going to be, you know, getting out of the house. There's going to be so much pent-up demand. They're going to be flocking to short-term rentals. So those of you that are still here and you are buying properties on the downturn, like here in the next 60, 90 days, I'm going to tell you what I'm doing. I am actually looking at the last 2 to 3 weeks for comps, and then I'm preparing for a 10% downturn in values based on those comps for my 90-day projects. So I'm not going off of 6-month comps anymore. So those are for my flip projects. And then for short-term rentals, I'm actually going to hold off on buying. I was going to buy 10 of them this year to add to my existing 4, but I decided to hold off. I'm going to let the market kind of slow down, and then I'm going to catch as people are pulling. I want to say, don't hold me to this statistic, but I want to say I saw that Airbnb has had about 12% of their listings pulled from Airbnb with what's going on. So here in the next few months, I'm going to start buying again. You know, I'm going to start buying short-term rentals to put on Airbnb and Booking.com and VRBO. But I'm going to be waiting for the downturn when people are fire selling. So by June, you're going to see a recession full-blown. The labor force is going to be out of work for several months. Business is going to be down. And unfortunately, this is going to be the final nail in the coffin for some retail. And a lot of them that are big names are going to be going out of business. So it won't be anything like the last recession. Fortunately and unfortunately, right now rates are down. The Fed has rolled out quantitative easing. Last recession, they wasted so much time. It took them forever to get to the point to roll out quantitative easing. So it's definitely not like the last recession. But here's the thing. Whether you like them or you hate them, thankfully, we have a very economy-driven administration. You know, Trump is going to do everything he can to get this economy back on track. And, you know, let's face it, he's going to use that to be the ploy to get him back to being reelected. But whether, like I said, whether you like him or whether you hate him, that is going to help benefit us to drive this economy as fast as possible to get it back on track. Here's the thing. We're going to see the worst of this here in the next several weeks. I mean, I was reading the other day, New York State had, my God, like 5,000 people already died. I mean, 5,000 people had already died because of this COVID-19 crisis. So, I mean, that's as of the last week of March. Like, this is nuts, guys. But by May, you'll see May, June, July, the worst of it will have been gone and the world will be on sale. So, look, people are going to be desperate for income. So, you're going to see labor, you know, getting cheaper. You're going to see people are desperate for revenue. The ones that are desperate to keep income coming in again, they're going to be willing to work for so much less than they are right now. So they want income. You want, you know, goods and services. It's kind of a match made in heaven if you see the blissful thinking that I'm trying to, you know, share with you. Like, it's unfortunate and we're not preying off of people, but we will be the servant hand to give them money for the goods and services that we need. So people will be selling for less than they are now, and because, you know, they just want less burden. So look, real estate, businesses, restaurants, whatever, you know. But here's the thing. For us, this is wonderful news. For other people, it's sad. This is not a take advantage economy. This is a let me help you relieve your stress and burdens economy. I mean, that's right. I mean, come on, right? We want to help people relieve the stress and burdens. We want to be the servant. We want to be the ones that get them to where they feel better about their finances, and we got a wonderful deal. I mean, hell, I'm already seeing it, guys. I had put out a bunch of letters. My daughters worked for me. They sent out letters, and I got a letter out come in. I got a quadruplex in my hometown for $50,000. Now, it is a beater-upper. People wanted $80,000, and all I had to say is, like, look, coronavirus is getting a little tight right now. Coronavirus is making the economy really, really tight right now. and it's not a good time to be buying. I can't give you $80,000. Maybe 3 weeks ago, this was worth $80,000 because it's, like I said, it's in bad shape. It needs over $100,000 worth of work in it. But, you know, right now I can only give you $50,000. She's like, when can you close? I said, 2 days. Guys, I got a wonderful deal and it was such a stupid deal that I had to say yes. So here's the thing. I want you to play your cards right. If you understand where we're going to be in the next few months, you will be printing money. Those of you that are in real estate listening to this, I want you to live in the future, not in the now. Don't live in the fear that's going on now that everybody's freaking out about. Live in the future of where we're going to be. Start getting prepared. Recreate yourself. Brand your brand on social media more. Be the opportunity seeker. Read your books. Listen to more podcasts like this. Get into more classes, more masterminds, and learn right now, guys. Because here in just a small handful of months, you're going to be able to pick up discounted homes at discounted prices. So live in that future mindset, but live it right now. Outpace the negative propaganda. Don't watch the news don't even watch the movie Contagion. I watched it the other day because I wanted to see it. I'm a big movie buff. But I'm telling you, it does not do any good for people like us right now. Like, we don't want to get sucked into this stuff. It's easy to get sucked into the negative propaganda. Here's how you overcome the negativity right now. You need to listen to more podcasts, like I said, books, courses. Just outpace the negative people, the negative propaganda. Everything I just said, do it, guys. Get around more masterminds, more positive people, more good books, just more education, and be inspired, be educated, put yourself in a place of hope. Because here's the thing, here in the near future, you're going to be able to become an opportunist, but I want you to start walking in it now. You're going to be wholesaling, you're going to be picking up rentals, you may be able to get a really good deal on a home that you can still flip. Just be an opportunity seeker. Here's the thing, just be ready. Maybe I'm weird, but I'm telling you what, I'm excited about the recession. I'm an opportunist and I'm always looking for opportunity, but now a plethora of people are getting out of the business and I'm so excited. There is so much less competition already within 3 weeks. It's blissful, man. I'm telling you, I am so freaking excited. You guys just don't know. I've been doing this for 17 years and when competition gets as tight as it's been getting now, it just really gets to your core and upsets you. So now that a lot of these newbies are getting out, they can't outpace me anymore. And I'm a veteran that's been doing this for so long. I can just keep on seizing these opportunities. Look, here in the next 6 months, markets typically rise within six months of an epidemic and significantly after 12 months. So within a few months to maybe next March, we're going to see a definite increase in our economy. It's gonna boom. It's definitely gonna boom. So, like I said, be inspired, be educated, or get educated, and be in a mindful thinking that is hopeful right now. And that's all the stuff that you can do mindfully speaking. Now let's talk tactically. Lean on my REI group, my REI Society public Facebook group. Get into other groups that are positive speaking, and those people are going to be the ones to help you through this, to help you think through this time. Look, construction, investors, cold callers, everything you need is only one Facebook group away, guys. So, and then mentors, business coaches, find people that are actively doing what they say. Like me, I do one-on-one coaching for people. I have my classes and I'm about to launch a mastermind between now and the end of the year, starting next month in May. And it's going to be a Survive and Thrive mastermind. We're going to do 2 classes a month, 1 to 2 hours each every other week. So it's biweekly. And I'm also do a 30-minute one-on-one coaching call with people to discuss with them and analyze their deals. Basically anything that they want to talk about to get them to the place where they can pivot and to relaunch themselves and to seize the day and seize the opportunity and become the opportunist like I'm talking about. That's the kind of groups, the kind of mentors, the kind of coaches you want to be around with, guys. So look, This is where we can leverage each other. You need to remember this one line. Don't compete, but collaborate. So here's the thing. Here's some tactics. I told you guys at the beginning of this, I was going to give you some tactics that we can talk about. Stop your overspending. Cut down on your eating out. cancel useless subscriptions, bank accounts that are charging you extra fees that you're not even barely using, cancel them. So I've slowed down on my eating out. You know, a lot of it is coffee. I like to go get my morning and afternoon coffee at Starbucks. Just plain black coffee, but I like it. But they're shut down, so I'm definitely not spending the money on that. And my eating has been cut out by 80%. My eating out at restaurants. We're supporting the local restaurants every few days, but I'm pulling back and not wasting any disposable income towards restaurants right now as much as I can help. Like I said, bank accounts, I closed out a bank account. They're charging me $40 a month for the last several months. And it's just been, it's been really, really good for me not to lose that money each year. Like, I'm not even using that checking account. It was just an LLC I had. I'm not really doing much with it, so I closed the bank account right now. Useless subscriptions. I don't want to name them by name because I like some of the software, but I'm canceling kind of like the driving for dollar types of apps. I'm canceling different things that I'm not utilizing often. And maybe I'll get them at a later date. Maybe I'll find that I don't need them and I can run business without them. We'll see. But I'm not wasting my money, guys. That's the point I'm trying to make. Any disposable income you had that you were investing in your business that you feel like you can live without right now, just live without it. Cut it. Here's the thing. You want to open as many lines of credit as possible while they're cheap. You know, and then here's the thing, like HELOCs, home equity lines of credit. If you have significant equity in your house, it is a really good time to get a line of credit or a HELOC. So, you know, the Fed, I guess a few Sundays ago, went ahead and lowered interest rates down to zero. And that's for lines of credits. So business lines, HELOCs, things like that, you can get dirt cheap money right now. So if you can get approved for that and you get one, don't just put it on the side. You need to draw down on it. Pull that money out, put it in your bank account. Because here's the thing, what you're going to see is banks over the next several months, they're going to get into a liquidity crisis. And they're already pulling back. As you guys know, in the real estate world, they're already pulling back on mortgages. There's no more QM products, no stated income, no doc loans. None of that is available anymore. And then hard money lenders are pulling back and they're making you put more skin in the game. And if they're lending at all, and you know, private capital investors are pulling back. I've got a couple of them that don't even want to put, you know, money into a project right now because they're in fear-based mode. So you're going to see the same thing with bankers, like lenders, people with your lines of credit, your business lines, and your HELOCs. If you get a $100,000 line of credit against your house today, in 3 months from now, if you didn't draw down that line, it may not be there. This happened to me several years ago. Right after the recession, I saved up a little bit of money. I bought a house and I got a line of credit. And one day I had $100,000 in a line of credit. Next day I had $25,000 because I didn't use it for several months. So they have clauses in there and they can do that at their own discretion. So you want to put that money in your checking account and you want to utilize it for a smart deal and or don't touch it at all. Just put it away and then put it back sparingly if you don't need it later on down the road. So that's the thing. You need money available. When liquidity in the market is dried up, the banks will reduce their exposure and you'll see that money disappear on your lines, your unsecured lines, your business lines, your HELOCs, and so on. But you guys, here's the thing. You need to be in a cash position. You need to find yourself in a cash position right now. You need liquidity right now for peak interruption in the next couple of months, like I was telling you about earlier. You want cash for when these opportunities that we were just talking about find themselves in your hands. They're going to present themselves to you again. I promise you. It happened to me before. It'll happen to me again. This is a smart move for those of you that aren't sitting on cash right now. And even if you are sitting on cash right now, I'm sitting on several hundred thousand dollars right now. I've got 20 projects going and you know, probably $500,000 in the bank. But just in case this thing stops real estate for the next 6 months, I won't liquidity. So I am getting those lines of credit and those HELOCs. So you need to get yourself in a strong cash position right now. So look, guys, here's the thing. I'm going to end it with this. I am very excited about this opportunity with what's coming up in the real estate market. A lot of people are freaking out. It doesn't mean you have to freak out. It just means that we have to be smart and lean on one another and be more prepared and get a little bit better on our purchasing. We got to get better and smarter deals, guys. And we need to try to prevent hiccups if we can. So that's the thing, guys. Look, here's the thing. If you are interested in one-on-one coaching, I am doing one-on-one coaching right now. You can email me. Actually just DM me on Instagram, Brandon G. Thompson, or you can find me on Facebook. I do one-on-one coaching, and I'll tell you about that. You can go to the REIsociety.com website to find out more information. I also do a mastermind, or I'm starting a mastermind, and it is not on my website, but if you're interested in that, I can give you the details on that. You can email me from my website, or you can find me on social media again. Let's see. I'm doing real estate classes. I can teach you how to wholesale. I can teach you how to flip. I can teach you how to do the Burr method and build a long-lasting wealth-building portfolio. That's in my classes, and I think I'm going to go ahead and reduce the prices for my May release of the classes. And there, that's it, guys. You got free podcast lessons here, and you have my public Facebook group, REI Society, to learn more about what's going on in the U.S. market. So thank you, guys. I just appreciate you guys all for listening. If you don't mind, if you haven't done this already, this is my call to action for you. I want to get more rankings in iTunes, Spotify, and whatever. So if you don't mind, specifically for iTunes, give me a 5-star review and tell people how much you appreciate all the stories that we go over and all the education, that you're inspired, that you're full of hope and everything from this podcast. That would really bless me right now. I've never asked anybody for anything yet, but 25 episodes in or 24, whatever we're at, please give me a 5-star review, and thank you so much. See ya.